Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have got the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, your Weekend Warriors, Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. I'm Corey Valdez.
And I'm Tony Cookston.
Thanks for tuning in with us today. We've got another great show lined up for you. Happy New Year, Tony.
Oh, thank you.
This is going to be an amazing year. I know it.
You know, it seems like the New Year's just never stop coming.
Have you heard, you know, the whole thing where it's like nothing can be worse than 2020.
Oh, I heard it.
Nothing can be worse than 2020.
I heard it in 2020.
And then 2021 was like, hold my beer. It got ugly.
There is no question that people thought that it could not get worse than 2020.
2021 was a, man, what a year. We've made it through. It's now January. It's amazing. I can't wait to hopefully move beyond some of this craziness. And I think this is the year it's going to happen. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think that it is cold.
It is freezing.
It is cold. In the Pacific Northwest right now, no matter where you are, it's cold. In some places, it's wet or snowy, but everywhere, it's cold.
Yeah, last week, all of our par yards in the Seattle area got closed down from all the snowstorms.
Oh, yeah. We had snow a lot earlier in the valley this year than we have in recent years. So it's, and I don't think it's over, brother. I think we got more cold coming.
My kids are hoping so.
Lots more cold. So that's why the show that we've chosen for today. Today, we're going to be talking about cold weather and you. Cold weather and your
and
home.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Technically, we're going to be talking about insulating and air sealing your home. Now, obviously, when your home was built, it was insulated and air sealed to some degree. The older your home is, the less of that it was. The newer it is, the more of that it is.
That's 100% fact.
But we're talking to so many people that there's a lot of people out there that are at both ends of the spectrum. So we're going to talk about a lot of that stuff. Some of it will apply and some of it won't. But there's a lot of information. And even if you're living in a relatively efficient home, right, there are still things that you can do to continue to be as efficient or make your home perform for you as efficiently as possible. We're going to talk about that kind of stuff. Here's a little list of things we're going to talk about today, Corey. We're going to talk about the top five problem areas in homes when it comes to cold penetrating the house and making it uncomfortable, okay? We're going to talk about how to retain heat in the winter and cool in the summer. We're going to talk about how to heat and cool efficiently, more efficiently. Tips on how to save cash and stay warm. And products and services that you could be using that would benefit you and your home.
A bad list.
All of those things will be sort of, you know, mixed in as we talk today, but you can definitely benefit. Everyone listening here can benefit from what we're going to share today. And I'm super excited because it is hitting home right now.
Home.
It's hitting your home. It's hitting your home like an ice storm right now.
I'll tell you one thing, Tony. And this may be a good time for our listeners to go check out their house. You know, when it snows outside or we get a nice frosty night and you get up in the morning and everything's frozen over, you'll notice that all of the roofs in the area have sometimes like a white coating of frost on the roof. Well, a good way to tell if your roof is or attic is insulated properly and sealed properly is to walk outside on that cold morning after your furnace has started and running, and you'll see where the frost has stayed or melted away. And if it's melted away, that means you have a lot of energy lost there.
Yeah, it's going to melt away eventually.
The sun hits it,
yeah, if you look at
it's
it,
off the table.
If you look at it and you can see that it's melting away, and homes, also other homes in your sight still have that frost. You see, you can see a comparison of insulating values by looking at 5 or 6 or 8 homes. See which ones still have the frost and which ones are losing it and which ones don't have it at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I take off in the morning and go to work, it's pretty early. Wintertime, it's before sun comes up. You can look out. I can drive down my street and say, they need insulation.
Yep, yep.
They need insulation.
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
I can see where that's not air sealed properly.
Yeah.
And I actually have a spot on my home that I notice when I pull out of my driveway, I can look up and around the pipe, a couple pipe jacks in my roof, you can see where I'm losing a lot of energy in those areas. And I have a feeling that the insulation has been moved around in the attic. And I need to go check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another telling sign, you know, the first things to thaw out on the roof usually will be your roof vents. And that's because air is going out of your roof vents at the highest point of your roof. And that air is going to be warm air, certainly compared to what's outside. But the warmer the air, the more insulated or heated airspace air is leaving the conditioned space and going into the unconditioned space. So the more warm air coming out of your roof vents, the less warm air your conditioned space is holding.
Yes. In a lot of that, that has to do with how well your home is air sealed. You know, you can have, you know, 4 feet of insulation in your attic, but one thing insulation does very poorly is stop airflow.
Right, that's right.
Insulation is good at insulating. That's it.
Well, it's also good at filtering.
Filtering, yes.
It does a really good job of filtering the air as it passes straight through it.
That's right.
It does not change its temperature, but it will clean it a little.
That's the thing, is if you took insulation, just fiberglass bat insulation, and went out and wrapped yourself in it and went out and stood in a windstorm, in an icy cold windstorm, you would be freezing.
Yeah, right.
Because the air literally passes right through insulation. That's why you have to have a vapor barrier, which, you know, the sheetrock on your ceiling, that is probably your biggest vapor barrier, or air barrier is what I meant to say. That air barrier prevents the airflow from freely flowing from your warm conditioned space up into your attic.
That's right. It does for those large areas. And yet, it still gets through. Where is the air moving through the ceiling if you've got a fully sheetrocked ceiling, taped, mud, textured, painted? How is that air getting up into the attic from your conditioned space with all of that there?
Well, I would ask, do you have electricity in your house?
Absolutely.
Do you have plumbing in your house?
Of course.
Do you have HVAC in your house?
Yes, I also have lights. What's that have to do with it?
So every penetration in every wall in your house, whether from electrical wires or plumbing pipes, drains, roof vents, they all go through the framing inside of the wall. Well, when you have framing inside of the wall and you have a hole that goes up into the attic and the plumber drills a 3-inch diameter hole to put his 2-inch diameter pipe through, that's a pretty big area for air to flow. And when you have negative airspace in your attic, free flowing, and your house has an HVAC system that's pumping hot air into it, you're creating that vacuum that now is sucking warm air right through that hole. And then what happens is it's pulling it through all of your other holes that you have in the wall in the form of electrical switches, electrical plugs, all of those things that the air is getting sucked in through there and right out through the attic, and you're losing it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the idea of air sealing literally means all of those things. Using expanding foam around openings in the ceiling and in the walls and in the floor in order to reduce the air gap or the opportunity for air to transfer there. And so that the air is going where you want it to go intentionally.
Right.
And coming from where you want it to come from also intentionally.
Yeah. So air seal, like you said, air sealing with expanding foam, that's probably the best way to do it. I've seen where people will go in and take insulation, just regular old fiberglass insulation, and stuff it. You know, they're stuffing it around windows and doors.
Yeah.
You know, when you pull the trim off your window and you can see daylight on all four sides because, you know, the trim is butted up against the vinyl window and there's just that big gap there. That's an opportunity to fill that with spray foam and prevent air from leaking through there. Because what happens is people shove that fiberglass insulation, which again is a terrible air barrier.
Right.
It, like you said, when you go to remodel a house and you pull the trim off and you pull that old nasty insulation out of there
from between the door jam and the framing,
right, and it's dark gray
or black,
it's because it is acting as a filter. All the airflow that's coming through there, it's just trapping all the dirt. It's the air is moving freely through there. So what you want to do is use something like a expanding foam, and you got to be careful here. Tony and I have both made this mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I have made this mistake using the wrong foam. I actually installed a new garage door on my home, on my old house. This was many years ago, and this is when I learned this valuable lesson. I used just regular old spray foam, and I thought, well, I'll just take it easy. I'll put just a little bit in there, and that way it'll expand out, no big deal. I sprayed it in there, it expanded, and I could not open the door. It expanded so much, it buckled the jamb and pushed it against the door, could not open it anymore. So I was out in the garage. I had to take a knife and all kinds of tools and scrape all that foam out of there just so I could open the door. Crazy.
And then you had to reapply it.
Right.
And then you learned that there is a minimal expanding foam.
Specifically.
A maximum expanding foam, multiple different brands and types. But you definitely want to look for an expanding foam that says for window and door,
right?
And that is a minimal expanding foam, so it won't cause that to happen. Your door or window frames to buckle, and then it doesn't operate right.
But one of the best parts about spray foam is that it will not allow air to pass through it. That's why it works great around windows and doors. When you spray it in there, no more cold breeze coming through and around your windows. Because I'll guarantee you, if you're sitting on your couch next to your window, or, you know, a door or whatever, and you can feel cold air hitting you when your furnace turns on.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause every time your furnace turns on, it's pulling air, right? And it's pressurizing your house. Well, it's got to suck air into the furnace through the cold air return. So every opportunity, wherever it will suck air from, it will.
Yeah, it'll come under the door, around the door.
Around the windows.
Around the windows. It'll come underneath the door from the garage.
Everywhere.
Come through the crawl space. And maybe one of the worst places is from the crawl space.
Oh my goodness.
You know, Corey, a lot of homes that were built with a tongue and groove decking and what we call car decking, or a number three car decking. And that decking is a lot of times loaded with imperfections and knot holes and those types of things. It's still strong because it's tongue and groove. But what it is not is airtight. And if you don't have a vapor barrier there and some subfloor on there, you know, you can be getting it right through the floor. But definitely around the crawl space access and you know, around the heat registers. And boy, I remember when we replaced the heating ducts in your house underneath in the crawl space, and some of those ducts were not even attached to the registers.
Oh man.
Yeah. And you know, you were just getting straight crawl space air, dank, stagnant,
blowing right into the house
air. Yeah, just blowing right into the house. But that's what happens. It pulls the air from in the path of least resistance. And that's where it's going to come from. So those are the areas that you want to keep the air from coming from.
Yeah, we've said this before many times on the show. The biggest air filter that you have in your home is your carpet.
Terrible.
Because if you have car decking, like Tony and I said, that there's all those imperfections, there are knot holes where the, you know, splits in the wood, they're just huge air gaps. And when your furnace kicks on, like I said, it needs air. So it's sucking air. depressurizing your home. Well, that dank, disgusting crawl space air, I mean, that is the last thing you want getting sucked up into the house. Because we're not only talking about cold air, but we're talking about unhealthy, moldy, just gross air.
And there is something you could do about that separately from air sealing the floor. You know, you could go one step further and you could create a air sealed crawl space or an encapsulated crawl space.
Yeah, a conditioned is another word for that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's certainly that's a whole show all by itself, that you know, having the crawl space treated in order to be that sort of a thing. But it's an option for someone.
Yeah, if you've got allergies, you know, every time I crawl into my crawl space, I mean, I absolutely hate it. It is the most disgusting place. It's moisture, so much moisture. I mean, you and I installed pumps down there, sump pumps with drains and everywhere to try and get some of that moisture out of there. But it's just a really gross smelling.
It's a scary place.
Area of the house.
Crawl space, scary place.
And there are companies out there that's what they do, is they go down there and they clean it up and they lay extremely thick Visqueen down. It's not even Visqueen. It's probably more of a TPO roofing type material. It's really thick.
Yeah.
And they lay that down and they tape all the seams and they wrap everything so it's airtight. And then what you have to do is condition that space. So it sounds counterintuitive, but what you're doing is you're putting air down there that is warm or cold. So you're conditioning it that way you don't, it doesn't build up moisture and all those nasty, gross things.
This time of year, it's really easy to tell where your cold, I feel like it's easier to tell where your cold spots are, where your cold drafts are coming from, because you can feel it. But how would somebody track down a cold spot or a cold draft in their home, you know, during moderate weather, which is really the best time to be solving these problems?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. That's a good question. I actually had one time, somebody at Par Lumber who I knew owned a
thermal imaging camera,
a FLIR camera.
Yeah.
And they brought it over. And what he did, he came over first thing in the morning when it was nice and chilly outside. The sun wasn't out yet. So we ran the furnace for not even very long, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And you could see, as soon as you turned on that camera, you could see where all of the heat was coming through the walls. It was unbelievable. It was an older house built in the 60s. And the wall insulation that they used had settled over time. So it was, and it wasn't even, must not have been stapled in or anything, because it slid down the wall. And you could see the top 1 foot was completely bare of insulation.
Interesting.
You could see it on the camera.
Yeah, that is very interesting. That would certainly tell you a lot about your situation. Maybe something even that you could rent, or a contractor you could hire that would own that. There are other ways to find out whether or not or whether or not your house is performing poorly enough that you need to do some work there. You know,
a blower door test.
Yeah, a blower door test, for example.
Blower door tests are difficult because, I'll explain what it is. What they do is they take your front entry door, they take the door off, and they replace it with a giant Ziploc baggy type thing that goes on there. And it's got a giant fan on it. And what that does is it sucks air out of your house. And it's got sensors on it that reads the pressure at which it's getting drawn out. So they bring the pressure down really, really far. And then what it does is it will give you a number to tell you how leaky your house is.
Right, right.
Based on the resistance of the fan, I guess.
Right.
It's really cool. But the one thing that will tell you is just how crappy your
right.
air sealing is. It doesn't really tell you where.
No, right. It just tells you whether or not there is a problem. It doesn't tell you how to fix it.
But there are things that they can do. There's companies that specialize in doing this. When they can come in, they have smoke pens. You ever seen a smoke pen?
Yes.
So it just emits like little vapor out of it that looks like maybe even like a vape pen, you know, kind of thing.
But it's colored.
Yeah, it's colored. And what they do is they walk around your house when it's depressurized and you can see the airflow and where it's getting sucked in around all of your windows and all your doors and all of those things. And you'll see that blow around and you can find the problem areas visually.
Yeah. Well, that's what somebody would want to do in order to determine where the areas are. But we know that doors and windows, attics and crawl spaces, and obviously ceilings, floors, walls with switches and outlets and lights and all of the things, the holes that are in there. Those are areas that are very common to find.
So would you call that the top five problem areas? What are they?
The attic and the crawl space, the ceilings, walls, and floors, doors and windows, and then, of course, the last thing there, which is the place where you want air to be changing, where you want it to be coming and going intentionally in the spot where you planned for it to be.
Ah, yes, like the stinky teenager bedroom.
That's right.
If you walk into a bedroom that just smells like,
Gym socks.
You know for a fact that the air exchanges in that bedroom is not enough.
Right.
There's not enough fresh air entering into the room and being exchanged.
You know what else is weird about that? I feel like every time I've walked into a teenager's bedroom and smelled that gym sock, it's never a cold gym sock. It's always seemingly warm and moist. It's like warm and moist and smells like a gym sock.
Gross.
Yeah. It's weird, but it's very real. So there is a way to properly ventilate your home. We've said this 1,000 times. If we've said it once, homes are meant to be built tight and then ventilated right.
That's right.
Homes do need to breathe. That's very much true. But you want it to breathe from the right spot in the right way. And there is a way to do that. They make equipment that can be installed specifically to tackle those tasks. And it's kind of a lot to talk about. So we're going to actually take that on in the next segment. But before we go, here's a few things you can do on the cheap, right? Just real quick. Get a programmable thermostat, or maybe stretch some film over your windows. If you've got cold windows, can be a very inexpensive thing. Another one is make sure that you're maintaining your furnace regularly.
Oh yeah, brand new filter. If you can't remember the last time you replaced your furnace filter, do it.
Absolutely.
Pull it out, and if it's super dark gray, change it out.
Absolutely.
Listening to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. I'm Corey Valdez.
I'm Tony Cookston.
Thanks for staying with us today. Hey, if you haven't already, go check out our Facebook and Instagram page. We are at WW Home Show. I don't know if you know this or not yet, but this is our very first episode this season in 2022 where we are doing a one-hour show with two segments, first half, second half, and that's it.
Yeah.
And we're going to be editing those together and putting those on our website, and we'll have those ready for podcasts. So if you listen to podcasts, it's going to be like a truncated 45-minute show, and that's all you get. So,
yep, that's right. Exciting new times.
Yeah, it's different. So
it's the same amount of content mashed together a little bit faster, a little bit more furious.
We're not used to that.
No, but we're getting it done. Before we went to the break, we were talking about insulating and air sealing, more air sealing really than insulating. We didn't really get into insulating very much. We talked a little bit about how you can tell if you're insulation is not working, or if you don't have any insulation at all, or very little.
Well, there's easy ways to crawl up into your attic. I mean, you can check your crawl space. I think every crawl space should be insulated. If you look down there.
Right, you're insulating the finished floor from the ground.
Right.
I mean, it's literally the ground, and then your framing, and then you know, your where you're standing in the house. And so you have to insulate that because it's cold underneath the house. So there's insulation in the framing under your floor, your main floor. And it, or there should be.
Well, the house I live in now had none.
Yes.
It was not insulated.
It's very common. It's very common.
It's a funny thing because
to find that.
It had no insulation and the ductwork was just regular old steel pipe. And that's it.
Yeah.
Just old school steel pipe, galvanized steel pipe.
It was carrying your hot air.
Right.
And so you were running hot air through a cold pipe that had no insulation around it. And you were, I mean, it was, you were losing more than you were getting.
It was crazy. The heating bill before I bought the house must have been astronomical. I don't even know. Because we got a new furnace put in. We got new ductwork, insulated flex ductwork. We got the crawl space all insulated.
I mean, that's not even to mention how many sections of that steel pipe that were not even connected.
Right.
Or were crushed completely flat.
Yeah.
That wasn't carrying heat even to some portions of the house.
Right.
I mean, honestly, it was probably as warm in the crawl space
as
it
was
in
the
in the house.
It was pretty amazing, and I would venture to bet there are many houses in that same situation.
Yep. You know, here's the thing. We live very busy lives, and we go home to rest so that we can get up and go back out and live that busy life again. And we hardly have time to make sure that our downtime is the most quality downtime. Not everybody does that. Not everyone. But a lot of people. A lot of people put 110% into their career and negative 10% into improving the quality of the time that they spend at home. And so, because also there is a learning curve. You don't know and you don't ask. You just take status quo and it's good enough and you move on. I mean, so many people just live right in that. Well, it's going to be, it'll be fine. I gotta go to work.
Yeah, no, and that, I mean, that is absolutely the case, which is different from us. You know, we're weekend warriors. We take pride in our homes. We work on our houses. If something's broke, we fix it. If we don't know how to fix it, we learn how to fix it, or we have buddies come over and we work through it. This is what we do.
We're lucky because we can be at work, working, and still talking about what's going on at our house.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you know, we get to kind of put, you know, our projects, make them a priority and talk about them during the day because it's what the people that we are communicating with are interested in.
Right. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. That is a benefit that we have being in the, you know, construction world.
So we're here on the radio and we're talking about getting you to check these things out. If you've got a cold draft, find it. Don't be afraid to put your head down in the crawl space and get a look at what's going on underneath. If you haven't been in your crawl space, you need to go. You need to go down there and check it out. Nobody wants to do that, but you need to. Don't be scared of it.
Well, I know. The time that I looked in my crawl space and saw the, 12 inches of water scared me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, what in the world? And that was a very expensive undertaking, a lot of work, but we fixed it. And we did it ourselves for, I don't know, it wasn't even very much money.
And we learned a lot.
We learned a lot. It was just a ton of work.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're afraid of work, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But you still should check it out. And
yep.
If you're going to pay somebody to fix it for you, at least you know.
Yeah, knowledge is power. At least you know. So that's one thing. Crawl space, insulation in the crawl space, very important. You need to check that out. Also,
vapor barrier down there, too. Let's not forget about the vapor barrier. If you have a classic crawl space, many houses in the Pacific Northwest do. It's basically a home. You have a foundation around the perimeter, and then they have framing on top of the foundation or hanger down into it, but that's semantics. What you have is that crawl space, but down below that is just dirt. And the only thing separating that dirt, that earth, from your wood framing.
And the moisture that's in it.
Right, the moisture. Because it's not touching it, but it's just the moisture. Is flimsy visqueen.
Right.
It's like 6 mil visqueen, and that's it. That's all there is. So it's kind of a important thing to keep that moisture down there rather than coming up into your house. So
yeah,
and you can probably figure out why.
And again, the insulation won't stop it. This is another thing that we need to talk about here. There's a lot of different types of insulation. Two very common types of insulation are unfaced bat insulation or rolled insulation and faced insulation. Faced insulation is a fiberglass bat that has a craft paper on one side, and that's a vapor barrier. You would not use a vapor barrier in the floor. So it when you're insulating the floor between the crawl space and your living space, you would not use a vapor barrier there. You will use a vapor barrier, but not on that side of the floor. Right. It would be on the top side of the floor.
Right. And the reason is because you have a vapor barrier on the dirt, and then you have the one on the floor. And if you add one in the middle, what's happening is you're creating a space for moisture to get trapped.
Yet you're also adding a dew point.
Right. Which you don't want to do. If you add a dew point to insulation, the face of the insulation, then it's going to get moldy and it's going to be gross.
Right.
Same goes for your attic. That's why you don't put craft face insulation in your attic on the ceiling. If you climb up there, you'll always see just unfaced. And that's the same reasoning. If you're adding a layer, that paper acts as a vapor barrier and it will stop. Moisture will stop at that layer and condense.
Right. So very important to know the difference between faced, craft-faced insulation and unfaced insulation. And in the crawl space area, unfaced is what you would use. Now, faced insulation is what you would put in the wall. And very important to note that you would not face the craft away. You wouldn't put it up against the siding or
you don't want it
towards
on the
outside.
Wall.
Right. You want it on the warm wall.
Right.
The interior wall. And so let's talk a little bit about bat insulation or fiberglass insulation. They make insulation for 2x4, 2x6, 2x8, 2x10, 2x12. Now, 14-inch joists, 16-inch joists, and they're all different thicknesses. We talked earlier about tucking fiberglass insulation between the frame of your door and your stud wall and how that doesn't work there. Fiberglass insulation doesn't work better if it's compressed. So if you buy 2x6 insulation and you put it into a 2x4 wall, you're not getting 2x6 insulation values out of it.
Right. You're condensing it into 2x4 because insulation gets its insulating properties with staying thick and fluffy.
Right, staying thick and fluffy. It needs to be holding the shape that it has when it's fully open. And when it gets condensed, no matter how much you shove in there, it's not going to perform better.
Right.
So you need to buy the proper size insulation for the space that you're putting it in.
Right, yeah, like so in a wall, a 2x4 wall, like you said, it's
It's 11 or 15.
Yeah, R15 now is actually what it is. They've designed it to where you can get R15 would be the maximum you could put. And like you said, if you bought R21, which would be for a 2x6 wall, and you compress it, it's not doing anything better for you.
Right.
And so on and so forth. So if you go up to R38, which is typical in an attic, that thickness of that is approximately
12 3/4 inches.
It's actually 11 1/4. Okay. 11 and a quarter would get you R38, which sounds kind of funny. But yeah, 11 and a quarter. So 2x12 is R38. 2x10 max is R35. 2x8 max is R29. Kind of interesting to know that.
Yeah, and those numbers are a little bit here and there, depending on what chart you're looking at or what website you're on. I know that when Corey and I did separate research and we got numbers that were a little bit different. But ultimately, you're buying the insulation that fits in the cavity that you're insulating.
Well, and that's only talking about fiberglass. That's only fiberglass when you're talking about those values. There's also rigid foam.
Sure.
There's spray foam. And you're going to get a higher R value from rigid or spray foam. It's usually R, what is it, R3 per inch or R4 per inch, right?
Interesting. I don't know that for sure, but that sounds right to me.
Yeah, it's around that, or R5 per inch. And so a 2x12, I mean, you could get R50 almost into a 2x12 cavity with spray foam or rigid foam insulation.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, so I mean, I've seen that before in construction where you have like a vaulted ceiling or a cathedral type ceiling where the only thing between the sheetrock on your ceiling and the roof deck is the space in that joist, in that ceiling joist. So they have to put in rigid foam or spray foam to meet the code criteria for attic space, which is R38. You have to hit that to meet code.
Right.
So
if you were to go up into your attic, you've been down in the crawl space, you took a look down there, you saw what you had or didn't have, you made a change to benefit your situation, and then you go up into the attic and you take a look. What are you going to find in the attic? I can tell you a story. I went into the attic of a 1949 home with a friend who was looking to potentially buy it. And I got up there, and what I was seeing in the attic of this old home would look like cat litter. Turned out it was vermiculite.
Oh, yeah.
And vermiculite, of course, is synonymous with asbestos. I'm not saying it's always there, but it is synonymous with that. And so, but it was even that it was that was there, it was very thin. There was maybe a half an inch max, and there was a lot of places where there was none, and it was doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. So much of it had been, I don't know, vacuumed up or brushed away or who knows. But there was a huge opportunity in that attic to improve the efficiency of that home by adding insulation. How much would you add? Well, that's your opportunity. I mean, what you don't want to do is you don't want to, you know, stack it. You can put more in there than will benefit you.
Absolutely. There is a point at which you're not going to benefit any more than what you're putting into it.
Right. That's right. But
R49 is kind of that magic number.
And I don't think that it matters so much what the depth of your ceiling joists are, whether you've got 2x6, 2x8, or 2x10. I think if your insulation sticks up above that a little bit, that's going to be okay.
Absolutely.
Adding a little bit of insulation on top of other insulation, if it's safe insulation. A lot of times you'll peek up in there and you'll see loose fill fiberglass insulation.
Which is fine. So loose fill is fine. It's, if you go in there and you know you've got 2x6 ceiling joists and you can see the top of your ceiling joists, you don't have enough. So if it's fallen below, or if it's settled below, what you need to do is bring that up to above. So what you do is take more loose fill, add to it, and then what you could do is come back with some R insulation, some bat insulation, like R21 or something, and throw that on top like a very solid blanket. Because what you don't want is big air gaps. If you roll insulation right over the top of the joists and there's nothing underneath that, you know, maybe a couple of inches between that and the sheetrock, you're creating an air void there. You don't want that.
Right. Absolutely. And of course, if you're going to be up in the attic, we talked about air sealing in the first half. You're going to be up in the attic. You're going to be adding insulation potentially. Make sure that you use your expanding foam around the openings in the ceiling, around the light fixtures. Careful around the light fixtures. Around the light fixtures and the other holes, vents or registers or whatever happens to be in the
electrical
ceiling.
Electrical wires, plumbing, all of that stuff. You know, Tony, this reminds me that story that you told about the vermiculite. You've seen Christmas Vacation.
Of course.
With Chevy Chase.
For sure.
I think probably every listener out there's watched that movie at least 100 times, like me. Love that movie. I watched it, I think, 5 times this season. when you know the part when he's in the attic and he goes up there to hide Christmas gifts, and then his mother-in-law comes in, she's freezing cold, and she slams the door on him and he gets stuck up there? You know that part?
Yep.
Well, what's funny is, you know, it's hilarious because he's walking back and forth, smashing his face with the wood planks. But if you look, you notice there is zero insulation in that attic. That's one thing I noticed this year watching that movie. I'm like, there is no insulation. And I guarantee you there are many houses out there like that.
Yep, absolutely. I've been in multiple houses that have no insulation in the attic. And it's just costing you money. Again, the insulation that's in the attic helps to keep the conditioned space heated.
Warm. It's like a hat.
Right.
It's like putting on a hat.
Exactly. It's a great example. And so if there's no insulation there, there's no hat, the heat's just going straight through that sheetrock and right out the roof vents, and you're just paying to heat the outside. So it's costing you a lot of money to run that heat when instead, if it was properly sealed and insulated, you would run the heat for a while and then you would be able to turn it down and it would retain that heat in the living space.
Right.
And you would stay warm with less power and it would cost you less money.
Well, think of it like a Yeti cooler. You know, Yeti coolers are so popular because they're very expensive, but it's because their insulation is so good that you can put ice in them and it stays for days, right? Versus an old crappy cooler that has very little foam around the perimeter and on the top. When you put ice in there, it's melted in a day.
Right.
That's the difference. The more insulation, the better air sealing that you have, the longer you're going to hold that air, that hot, warm air and cold air in the summer. If you're air conditioning, it's the same thing.
What insulating options have we missed? What did we not talk about? We talked about the crawl space. We talked about the walls. We talked about the ceiling or the attic space. There is also an opportunity, depending on your home or what your situation is, there's an opportunity to insulate pipes. There's an opportunity to insulate.
Oh, yeah, pipes.
Hot water heaters. Sometimes new hot water heaters are insulated. Older hot water pipes that come, anything that's running along on the outside could be insulated. They make foam pipe insulation. Mm-hmm, They also make fiberglass pipe insulation, but I don't know if people are still using that.
Well, you know, it's you'll know if your water heater, say, is on one side of the house, and your shower or your bedroom, say your bathroom, on the other side of the house. And in the middle of wintertime, you turn on that hot water, and it takes a bit of time to warm up, is because those pipes between there and the water heater probably aren't insulated.
How about if you own a home with a garage, and the garage is not insulated? Is there a benefit to insulating your garage walls and ceiling?
100%.
Really?
Absolutely. I don't know the exact numbers on it, but I know I read a study one time that talked about the benefits of insulating your garage, the walls, and the ceiling, and the impact that it makes on the energy consumption of your home. It's pretty big. And honestly, my garage is insulated, and I had previous in my garage door. Was when I bought the house, it was just an old junky garage door.
It was wood, right?
It was wood, but it was just thin panels, had no insulation whatsoever. And when I replaced it, I put a nice insulated garage door. A
double insulated garage door.
And it makes a huge difference. Yeah. Inside the garage and inside my home.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. Insulation can be quite literally, it can be seen in your checkbook.
Oh, certainly.
The amount of money that you're spending to heat your home, it would be very evident spent some money to properly insulate.
It's not really that much money. I had my entire attic insulated, and they wrapped all the pipes. I even had those sun tunnels up there. They wrapped all the sun tunnels. They wrapped all the air vents and everything. And I think I paid $1,800 for... you know, 1,800 square feet of living space.
I'm reading into what you're saying right now. Is insulating your attic or insulating your crawl space a weekend warrior project?
I'm going to say no. And here's why. Could I have done it myself? Absolutely. But professional insulation companies that do it for a living, they must get an unbelievable price on insulation.
Yeah.
Because I priced out what it was going to cost me to fully insulate my attic, fully, you know, spray foam everything and do what I wanted to do. And it was going to cost me like $1,400 just in materials. And these people came in and did it for $1,800.
Wow.
So it didn't make any sense for me to spend all of that time
and effort
to do it. And you may be different.
No, well, I'll tell you what, I've had some memorable run-ins with fiberglass insulation, and I'm here to tell you right now, if I never have to touch a piece of fiberglass insulation again in my life, it will be too soon.
Well, we insulated, you know, our radio studio.
Yes, we did.
That we're recording in right now.
And, you know, and that was a small space, 8x12 or something like that. And it was still too much.
Yeah, it was still a pain in the butt.
It was a pain.
I wouldn't have paid somebody to come out and do this because it is small enough where it probably would have cost us more money to have somebody come and do it. But yeah, I mean, honestly, on a larger project, same thing went for my crawl space.
Yeah, we did some of that, and that was also hard work.
Yeah, it's a pain.
Know, tying that stuff up from the bottom of the joist was rough.
But I'll tell you, I will give you a couple things that the average homeowner or even weekend warrior should do.
Okay.
Replace weather stripping on your doors.
Absolutely.
If you've got doors in your home, entry doors that you use on a regular basis, and you can turn off the lights inside the house and go outside, turn on the lights outside, and you can see daylight or you can see light through the doors, it's time to replace that weather stripping. Because if you can see daylight, air's coming right through there.
Same goes with the sweep on the bottom of the door.
Yes.
Over time, it wears out and it needs to be replaced. That is normal wear and tear. You should check out the sweep on the bottom of the door. Make sure that it's making contact with the threshold.
And a lot of times, the threshold, especially if you have a nice Therma-Tru door, those thresholds are adjustable. So you can take a little screwdriver and you can adjust that little piece of sill up to meet the sweep and create a better seal.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we got, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got something you could use. This has been another episode of Your Weekend Warriors right here
on the Weekend Warriors Radio Network.
Have a great week.